Welcome to a special episode recorded live from Faro Signals with Pat Boyle, Kip Ivey, and Rob Miller. We're going to get rid of the news this week and just cover what's going on at another conference where we have FOMO. Tune in.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're live from Faro Signals with Pat Boyle, Kip Ivey, and Rob Miller. That's right, we're getting back. We've got FOMO. I couldn't make it to Chicago this week. Well, I don't know if I really wanted to be in Chicago, to be honest, but then again, it's snowing here in Colorado, so maybe I did want to be in Chicago. And I am excited. You guys are coming to me specially live from Faro Signals. It's the first Faro Signals, isn't it?
It is, Jeff. So the Faro had a user conference like 10 years ago. And so I think it's the first one after a decade, which I think we officially going to start recounting them at one. So we indeed crank this activity back up. As for anybody who knows Faro, you know, we have kind of a metrology business, a public safety business, and a construction and operations business. We felt like it was the right place, given all the things we had going on, to sort of start with the construction and operations markets. We had some products that were in the pipeline, and so all that sort of coalesced into being in Chicago. And also, as you know, we're calling in from Oracle's Innovation Lab. So part of our motivation of being in Chicago was not necessarily 48 degrees and raining. It was really sort of linking with our Oracle colleagues, the chance to visit this lab. Kip and Faro were a big part of the cooperation with Oracle in both as it runs today and in its initiation. So all those were elements that sort of led us to where we are today.
And for everybody listening in, that's Pat Boyle. Pat, give everybody an idea of what you do at Faro for those that don't know you. And that's a great intro. And I got to see through Kip's lens a little while ago, the Oracle Lab, which I have not been to yet, not without being offered. I have been offered. That's on me, not on anybody else. I'll get there. But Pat, tell everybody what you do at Faro and just a little bit about, because you set the day up today.
I'm president of Building Insights. Building Insights is a group focused on largely the construction and operations software efforts and products. And we work closely with the rest of the team at Faro when it comes to workflows, building sort of software that will pick up essentially what our capture products are producing and taking that further in the work stream. So my team is very much a software focused team. A lot of my team originates from the HoloBuilder acquisition that we did in June of 2021. Although there are actually several acquisitions kind of in the mix around Faro, much like the industry, we're relatively acquisitive, but the one that primarily is our anchor is the HoloBuilder acquisition from a few years ago.
Yeah, and that HoloBuilder acquisition, it was a great one to see come in to sort of how Faro is going about integrating all of the different things that we need. And it's great to see, you know, a real focused user conference and, you know, around what we're doing in construction and operations and those areas. And to have Oracle play a role into it. You got some great sponsors for the day. You had Oracle, Revisto, one of my favorite platforms, and Raiken, which I think is an incredible piece to show, you know, how those real project management solutions can play in with all the other reality capture and things we're doing. So it's really cool. I'm also joined by Kip Ivey. And if y'all listening in, I know most of my listeners know who Kip is because he is a legend in the reality capture space. I'm excited to have Kip. So Kip, say hello. Yeah, that's right. I got him laughing. Say hello, right. You know, and you know, for those few that don't know you out there, let them know what you do.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. I came to Faro 2016. I was well versed into the Faro workflow by that point. My kind of what I do here, sometimes I call myself just a talking head, but really I work in the business development segment, marketing tools, focusing on, you know, how do we consume this data in a tangible way? Because really, when it comes down to reality capture, that's really where the rubber meets the road, right? It's not necessarily just about the how something collects quickly. It's really how fast do I get to a point of reference that I can do something with it. And that's really what, you know, Pat, you know, and the team that we focus on, we're really focusing on that consumption end. So,
yeah, you know, Kip, you're underselling yourself, because when I need to know and understand, and we did this in sort of the walk up to it, like, there's so many use cases. Reality capture and digital twins and things like that become these buzzwords that we really can't or struggle to separate out and understand. And when I need a use case opportunity to understand, hey, should I be using 360 capture? Should I be using, you know, a laser scanner? Should I be using, you know, SLAM? What should I be using? I go to Kip because I'm not the guy that knows those things, right? So underselling yourself a little bit. I mean, the real bobblehead's the other guy, Rob Miller. So, you know, everybody's got to bring a bobblehead with them. And so we brought Rob with us. No, I'm just kidding. No, Rob and I go way back, and I'm excited to have you. I've got this such FOMO right now that I'm missing out. So Rob, you're the one I've been watching online cover what's going on. Talk a little bit about, from being in the seats of signals and what's going on.
Yeah. So, Jeff, I think it's been really exciting to be back. As Pat mentioned, kind of restarting this back as an event, the opportunity for us to engage with the customer base that's out there, our customers and the folks in the industry, has been really great. We've had a great opportunity to get networking time with them, but to also, you know, get some great presentations on, you know, the reality capture technologies that we have and how these are getting implemented on job sites. And, you know, my team is now focused on that customer experience. So it's been really rewarding for me and others on my team to sit there and kind of get that confirmation that some of the work we're putting in is really having an impact with those folks. And it's really providing meaningful solutions that they can use and really benefit from. So it's been great to be belly to belly with these folks again and get the great content.
Yeah, get that great content, get those great user stories. I mean, all of us, we do this and we put a lot of time into what we're doing, but it's really not worth much if our customers and sort of that, you know, that partner world that we're all building, because that's what it is, right? That we're all partners in this. Some are customers, some are true software or hardware partners in some respects and those kinds of things. And then ultimately, you know, we can get to talk about, you know, some of the owners and facilities managers that use your products and get to hear some of their stories. So, you know, Pat, you were kicking it off with a lot of those stories. So talk a little bit about some of the different things we're hearing, you know, whether that be from your manufacturers or facilities folks, those people that are out there talking today.
Yeah, for me, it's like straight adrenaline to hear our customers talk about how they're using our products. It's like amazing. And you're right. You know, we have, of course, we're very lucky to have some of the highest, you know, sort of, in my opinion, quality generals in the space using many of the FARO tools, key trade contractors, and also big operators and owners, whether they're operating production facilities or office, you know, large office spaces, those sort of things. So, and, you know, what we learned over that and also thinking about those, you know, kind of various groups is that you can't, there's not one tool that sort of addresses all those capture needs. If you cut across generals, trade groups, owners, you know, those sort of things. And so that's also part of this magic, is you can see this tapestry of, you know, capture come to life as presented by our customers. It's good fun.
It is good fun. And it's great to see all of the things that FARO has been acquiring over time become part of this solutions option. And so, Kip, I want to hear a little bit from you about, you know, maybe some of the announcements or maybe some of the workflows that, you know, you and I talked about ahead of time that some of the people listening in, you know, that probably wanted to be there, but we all can't be everywhere, that you know, you've seen and have going with some of this.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting. The ability to be in an intimate environment, you know, like this, gives you a different, sometimes, view, even in what your customers do with the hardware and the software that you spend all your human capital, blood, sweat, and equity in developing. And all of a sudden you find out they're using it in ways that maybe you didn't even intend for them to use it, but they found a way to make it work, right? You know, and I think that in many ways, that's where innovation comes from. when looking at, you know, various tools and that kind of function, it really comes around the, you know, what do you need and how do you use it will determine what the next level is. So, you know, we had a recently, well, just in, I think in the last couple of days, we announced the new Faro Orbis. And, you know, Rob's been very, very intimate with this piece of equipment because he's, you know, one of the things they really did diligently with this piece of equipment was do an exorbitant amount of testing internally. Rob and Dwayne Doucette, they've been driving around, the country like little scan monkeys, trying to, make sure that before this thing ever hit the street, that it was ready for market. And, you know, the fact that we're now sitting here looking at a mobile device with flash scan, flash LiDAR technology, where I can literally achieve a millimeter, not a millimeter, but like 4 millimeter accuracy or so, or even maybe even less out of mobile data, I think is kind of a little bit of a game changer, especially when the fact that no registration required sometimes. It's an amazing piece of equipment to see. Rob and his team did a phenomenal job making sure it was ready to go to market.
That's that great partnership, right? So, Rob, as you were traveling around with the Orbis, talk a little bit about the approach there and just what your experience was with it, especially given that it's, you know, it's really mobile.
Yeah. So I think, one of the things that was really interesting is, GeoSLAM came to us almost exactly a year ago, and they had, by all measures, a phenomenal product. A great tool, mobile capture, speed, the data quality was good. The SLAM algorithm was absolutely top notch. But one of the things, joining our organization is I think the legacy Faro organization has brought a bit of a different perspective. And it's been a very interesting process, not always easy, but it's been very informative and enlightening, I think, on both sides as we tried to take the experience of GeoSLAM and the experience of Faro and really kind of bring those knowledges, those experiences together to really step up the game in the mobile capture. And I think, when you look at Orbis, it has all the benefits of the mobile scanning. We have improved the sensor, so you have better, accuracy and precision. You have more data, so the sensor captures more data simultaneously, so you're getting a more detailed, more accurate result. But then we've been able to work together and really look at some of maybe where, dare I say, limitations existed in mobile, which was it wasn't always detailed enough. It wasn't always dense enough. And that's where, as Kip mentioned, we've introduced this flash scan, which is, for all intents and purposes, it's a stationary, it's a static scan. And we have been able to take that data from a mobile sensor, run it through our algorithms, and really put together an incredible result, which is a stationary scan already registered in with the mobile data of higher precision, higher accuracy, better quality in the color, and the detail is there. So now when I go into areas where maybe normally I wouldn't have thought to use a mobile scanner, I have the ability to step up the quality of my deliverables. And, going around talking to customers, I think we really hit on something because customers have been incredibly receptive and responsive and excited about this because it's now changing an opportunity for them. Scanning more often, scanning with a different tool. So the feedback has been great. And we are incredibly excited about this and all the feedback. And, even Jeff, being here belly to belly with customers, we have expectations of how we think the market will react. But being able to be here with our customers, with the industry, right on the heels of this announcement really helps us confirm whether we got it right or whether we're headed in the right direction or if it was a miss. And I think we got something here.
Yeah, I think you guys are headed in the right direction. And it's great to see, the customers play in on, okay, you're headed in the right direction, but we're going to adjust you. Here's what we're seeing. And I think that's what Faro's always been so good about, is kind of guiding it and starting in the right direction, but taking the feedback and adjusting the direction along the way to bring to market things that we really need. And, you talked about something there that I want to bring back to Pat, because I'm a big advocate that, you know, acquisition is not a bad thing. Our industry in construction and construction technology has a couple of bumps that have existed. We can all look back and lament over those things, but those are spilled milk, right? It's just, you're always going to have a few bumps. But truthfully, acquisition is one of the best ways for organizations to move forward, to become more than the sum of their parts. And you kind of touched on that, Rob, with what you're doing with Orbis. So, Pat, I wanted to flip it back to you. And how has that played in strategy-wise, especially since you brought Sitescape in as well along the way? So there's been a couple of acquisitions here along the timeline. You know, Hollow Builder, GeoSlam, Sitescape, ATS, which was at the beginning of it all. So talk a little bit about the strategy that you're using there to create something more than the sum of its parts, Pat.
Sounds good, Jeff. Yeah, so, well, folks that know me a bit will know that, you know, acquisitions are part of my DNA, and I feel strongly about them because, I think, you know, with the right strategy, you can acquire too much, and frankly, you can acquire too little. I think, you know, an appropriate strategy when, okay, we're doing these things really well organically. We had the chance to do these increments, well, also organically, but where do we think we need to speed up in some form? And that's how I think we have approached strategy. So I think it's a healthy mix of doing what we think we do pretty well or even well, and then adding to those, you know, to our sort of repertoire things that we think we want to accelerate. And so just as you said, you know, if you just FIRE has done more acquisitions than are, you know, historically than listed. But in principle, we really started kind of really pulling through our digital reality portfolio when we started with the acquisition. The U.S. folks won't know this company ATS, but they were a service provider and a technology company based in Sweden. They were serving several large automotives. You could probably guess the names if they're in Sweden, around a high accuracy solution for their production, kind of rip and replace of robotic cells. So it kind of took us at the very top end of the pyramid. And then we went through and we said, we have an incredible focus product, the terrestrial laser scanner, but how do we supplement that? How do we get have the conversation with the customer, said, what are you trying to achieve? What business outcome are we trying to achieve? Not every one of those can be achieved with a terrestrial laser scanner. And so that's the strategy that we sort of went through. Where do we fill in our gaps? And as Rob said, GeoSlam was a great sort of addition. Hollow Builder was. And then also Sitescape. So not everybody can afford a terrestrial laser scanner. Not everybody has them sitting next to them. Not even everybody will be able to afford a mobile laser, you know, sort of slam scanner, right? So, but they probably have an iPhone or likely an iPhone or an iPad in their pocket or in the trailer. And, you know, for a fill-in point cloud use case, Sitescape is an incredibly powerful tool from that perspective. So it kind of fills in that, that kind of solution set, we think.
Yeah, it really rounds out what you're offering and bringing to the industry to meet them where they are. Everybody needs to be met. And it's sort of too, I know, Kip, you and I have talked about this a little bit. It's like, just give me a little bit. Give me something to get me in and get me started down that path. Let me grow in a way that's organic for me, that works for me. And I think the acquisition of some of those, you know, maybe it's just Hollow Builder. You know, maybe I say only. I mean, if you think back to like 5 years ago, that only was like super futuristic to think about the fact that, you know, you could scan around a room and see the reality and see 360 and zoom in on things and do that kind of stuff and not have to take 37,000 pictures just to catch where the outlet was in the wall to make sure it was in the right place, right? So talk a little bit for me about some of the other things you're hearing, some of the other ways that people are getting their hands on it and just getting involved in you know, reality capture in general, but then taking them down that path.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, just organically, if you listen to many of the presentations that were going on this week, right? And I know you don't, you know, you're not here to hear them and that kind of function, but there was this, sometimes this overall theme around the real, what you just touched on. When you think about reality capture and you think about what we're trying to do here, we're trying to create a digital toolkit, right? Back in the day, like you said, 5 years ago, the concept was, oh, I have this particular device, so I don't even need to look at those other ones anymore because, you know, I have this one. And then all of a sudden, you know, life continues to evolve as does technology. And the next thing you know, people are realizing, you know, one tool isn't really enough. and I need a screwdriver, but all I got are wrenches. And so all of a sudden that would starts, you know, companies to say, well, how do we help round out your toolkit? And, you know, the acquisitions that we've created have allowed us to create a full spectrum of reality capture tools, right? I always have this in my graphic that I talk quite oftenly about, you know, there's this teeter-totter that exists in the world of reality capture. And one side of that is time and the other side is accuracy. And it's a parasitic symbiotic relationship. And if you want to be really accurate, it's going to take more time. And if you want to be, you know, you want to be really fast, you got to give up some accuracy. There's a level of push-pull function there. And as a developer, our goal is to try to create a balanced approach that we can, you know, try to achieve both to the best of our ability, right? And so if you look across the, you know, our balancing board, now you've got, you know, the 360 capture, which gives me the virtually, you know, I always call it a Prometheus moment, right? If you ever saw the movie Prometheus, where he takes the balls and he throws them in the air. And I always talk about how the fact that anybody can throw in a ball in the air. That's one of the takeaways for me was how easy it was. And the other one is he had instant access to the data. That's why I call it a Prometheus moment. And 360 reality capture tools like Hollow Builder are Prometheus moments because it provides instant access to the data and anybody can use Eureka Theta. Well, now we're sitting here looking at the Orbis. And if you think about it from a workflow perspective, in other words, how I use the mobile application, it is absolutely spot on, comparative, exactly the function that you would use to capture video mode in Hollow Builder. I can now capture mobile data. As long as you can walk, pretty much, you can now use this, you know, this particular tool. And the ability to get to that point of consumption where I can actually make a tangible decision with it or do something with it, that timeline is compressing deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, and that's really where it matters. And I think, you know, I think about what we're going on here. And I think that's what the customers are seeing as they go through not only their own presentations, but listening to the other presenters. We're like Pat, we're on the ride here, and Pat talked about this, how cool it is that you've got up front, you have a customer that is talking to your customers, telling them how much they use your stuff. And it's an amazing thing to see that kind of interaction, because sometimes the people in the room are competitors, let alone, you know, industry, you know, just in the same industry kind of function. And that creates a level of camaraderie and a level of intimacy that you know, is kind of unique around, I believe, around the technology, especially the construction tech industry. And so the ability to have that face-to-face time and then put this new tools in people's hands for the first time is kind of an aha moment in many ways, because now all of a sudden I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, if I scan a hospital and it's got 20 rooms on per floor, but I really don't need high-res data in the corridors because it's my connective tissue, it's my capillary, right? Now I have the ability to grab a mobile scanner, walk down the hallways, walk into the rooms, do a couple flash scans, get high-dense, high-quality data, walk back out, and move on. It provides a very unique workflow.
It's an awesome workflow to see it all go together. And Rob, I want you to jump in there. Yeah, that's why I was trying to give you that segue into Rob jumping in.
Yeah, I think it is really cool. It's a great opportunity. But let's be honest, we've created a situation for ourselves, because what we're now talking about is different types of capture with different quality of data and maybe different ways in which people interact with that data. So we've also created a situation that we've had to focus on, which is how do we enable, right, this consumption of data from different devices in a way that it's not like, I'll give you an example, Jeff. If somebody does a scan in September and they want to compare that to, you know, travel back in time and compare it to a scan in July or June, do you go get the other hard drive out, right? How do you overlay 360 images that you've captured with scans that you've taken? So we've created this situation that, frankly, some people have worked very hard on trying to solve. There's still room to keep evolving it. But I think we see that that opportunity, and you can see that light from, frankly, everybody from our developers to our product marketing folks to sales and to the users of our data, which is, oh, you know, I hate to use the word silos, right? How many years have we used the term silos? But, you know, these data sets have often sat in different silos, and trying to enable an opportunity where customers can focus on a project and all of the data that's on that project. And I think that one has been very interesting to talk around and discuss today with a number of people.
At the Contech Crew, we focus on technology that solves industry problems. And we've always believed in our sponsors, so much so that I went to work for one of them. So today, I want to talk to you about Join. Every construction project is a unique prototype, and it's actually shaped by thousands of decisions that impact the owner's business case, design, and the budget. Today, the communication driving these decisions is disjointed across all the stakeholders. Work happens in email, Excel, estimating, resulting in delays, waiting for decisions, waiting for access to information, and sometimes that information is outdated and incomplete. Managing the expectations of the team and keeping the project moving forward is a constant challenge, and a lot of times drives skepticism amongst the contributors. Join empowers general contractors to build with confidence and maximize the potential of every project by connecting these owners through new workflows that fit into your existing processes. We bring design teams and trade partners into a single platform. There's transparency and collaboration in the decision-making, which builds trust and sets projects up for success. You might be asking yourself, do you need another tool? Well, let me tell you, Join fits in seamlessly with your processes and your other tools. In fact, we're here to help those other tools. Regardless of your estimating system or your project management process, Join will be a valuable added resource without disrupting those other systems and your teams. Check out Join, the collaborative project delivery platform for the built environment. Learn more at join.build. Yeah, you're unlocking. Each one has a piece that they've always had, and they've been like, oh, well, I have this, and oh, well, I have that. But you guys have created an ecosystem where they can bring it together and sort of experience it. And it's, again, almost as if it's like what Pat talked about with the acquisition strategies. It's more than the sum of its parts because of how it works together. Rob, I'm kind of interested, what is some of the feedback as the customers get these new things in their hands today? You know, I'm a little bit FOMOing right now that I know there is hardware being handed to people that I can't touch today. And it's killing me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, honestly, Jeff, the excitement from the folks attending Signals has been really great. It's been very positive. Lots of engagement. It's clear that people are seeing many of things that they've been looking for, finding, you know, coming to fruition and coming to the market now. So there's been a lot of excitement. I've seen a lot of great discussions. You know, we end up with a few people standing at the booth talking about Orbis, and all of a sudden we're finding, as Kip mentioned, those contractors that maybe are not friends coming into this event, right? They could be competitors in some situations, but they're collaborating. And we know this, it's a tight industry. You know, we do share, even though we are competitors in what we do, there is an opportunity for everybody to grow. Jeff, you're, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. So we've seen a lot of that interaction from those participants, the attendees, and a lot of mind sharing in addition to what we're doing. And that's been some of the best part for me, is seeing that in person.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch it all happen. And I know Pat's over there getting really excited because he's seen a couple of these aha moments. So I'm gonna loop it back to him. And Pat, tell us some of the aha moments of the day for you.
Well, I think one I see our customers have very regularly, Jeff, is, so 360 Capture and Collaborate seems straightforward, right? We think about it. When we hop into a 360 image, we cruise around and go, oh, this makes sense. But I can't tell you the number of times I see a prospect of ours look at the Hollow Builder, you know, product and see when they've done their first, what we call time travel. So I've got my project from last month. I have it from yesterday. And you can just see they go, wow, holy cow. I know you told me this is what it did, but I didn't really realize, you know, how powerful that information was. you know, not only creating it, but then creating time travel. So I have real references, and then there's a number of use cases beyond it, but it's a super kind of quote unquote simple one, but it's the same one we're creating for point clouds, right? So it's the same sort of thing where it's, you know, the power of that information becomes not only in its original existence, but how it evolves. And that for me is like one of the major ahas that we drive through. And that is largely able to be delivered through all the cloud tools that we can do them on desktop as well. But then a lot of that sort of benefit, because you're really democratizing that information to probably a large number of folks that may not all be able to sort of be addressed with a offline sort of, you know, workflow. So as a result, those two things, time travel, and then, oh yeah, I can share it with dozen, hundreds. We have literally some folks that have 1,000 users that are allowing them to use that data across their organization, sort of thing.
It's awesome to hear about the thousands of users having access to that information, but that it really strains my mind to understand having a backbone and an infrastructure where you can support that across multiple groups. And I know, Kip, you're the one who puts me at ease when I'm a little bit worried about these kinds of things. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, it's good and I can allow myself to believe in this now.
Like Pat mentioned, the idea of time travel, right, in the platform, and the ability now to, you know, aggregate multiple streams of data, basically. And you think about, you know, there's an old phrase about, you know, data's the new oil kind of function, right? But the problem with oil, until you refine it, it's really unusable. And the same thing exists in what we're doing, right? The one thing that applications like we do, one thing we're really good at is creating data, and lots of it. And and there's this sometime a mental block that comes around when people get involved in reality capture. They're like, oh, what am I supposed to do with all this data, right? How do I use it? I can barely, it's filling up my hard drive kind of function. And there's this fear that begins to creep. And so when you think about the ability now to have multiple data streams aggregated to a new platform this week called Sphere XG, which is going to be a tool to allow us to amalgamate all that data structure into a singular platform, right? So that, yes, I can see my point clouds. Yes, I can see my 360 photos. Yes, I can see my mobile data. And not only can I time warp between two 360 photos, I could literally throw up a LiDAR scan. I use the example sometimes like I'm a GC, I'm on the job, and you know, not everybody scans every week. They'll scan once a month, right? And depending on their assets and how many assets they have available to them, they might scan every 2 months, you know, at points of inflection during the construction process. Well, the guy out there with 360 cameras, he's out there, you know, man, he's just banging it out. And because he's got to use it for progress tracking. And so, and then all of a sudden it's bill week comes around and we all have our schedule of values we have to fight about. And so I go to you and I say, hey, Jeff, I need you to go capture area A because I got to turn in my schedule of values to Rob because Rob's got to turn his schedule of values into Pat. And if I don't give our stuff to Rob, Rob doesn't get the path, then none of us get paid. So do me a favor, take your camera, go out to area A so I can see what's going on, at least have some type of progress tracking function. But while you're there, could you do area B and C? So now I'm sitting back thinking, okay, I have an immediate access to the data. I go out and I do video mode on B and C so I have points of inflection that I can come back to, you know, next week or whatever the case may be. But then I come back with my scanner in 2 months. But in that period of time, the mechanical systems began to populate vertically throughout the floor, in between all the open studs from when the last time I collected it. Then the drywaller shows up on site in that 2 month period. And next thing I know, he's got 40 guys out there on stilts, and they're throwing up drywall like it's going out of style because they're getting paid by the square foot. And when I come back to scan, I can't see anything anymore. Everything's already closed in. And they give me a change order and they say, hey, go punch a hole in that wall. But I don't know what's in the wall now. But I could bring up my scan data from a month ago and I can layer it right next to that photo that was just taken last week because he had to do the schedule of values. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, there's some vertical systems in there. There's a wastewater line. They got hot and cold water going throughout there. I can pull the measurements now out of the scan data and use the 360 photo to provide clarity to the information that I can't see. And so when you think about why would somebody use laser scanning and that's just it. Laser scanning provides a level of accuracy that I can be comfortable and accurate in relationship that I'm going to get the appropriate measurements. So if I use laser scanning and mobile data anytime I need to measure something, but imagery provides a sense of clarity potentially that is missed. And I think that's where that marriage of the various applications begins to compound and creates an ecosystem that is very consumable.
Yeah, it's consumable and it's really usable. We used to go back to the old Rob McKinney days and when Rob was in safety and quality, and he kept saying, just imagine all the times that he sat there with some sort of cutting device going, do we need to cut into this wall here? But I'm just really not sure I should be doing this. What is going to happen? Or, you know, if I put this in and he was like, can I just get something that can transport me back so I know what's on the other side of this drywall? And to see it really come to fruition with the combination of these things, though, because you, like you said, it was one thing for us to know there was or wasn't something behind the pipe, but now we can measure. And so we have the ability to go, okay, you know, it might not be in a drywall, but especially when you're talking about concrete, if you've got to for some reason go back or punch a hole in concrete, to know where you're going to hit a utility or where you might hit something, where you might mess up something that's already, oh man, that is so valuable in a use case. And we'd been talking about it forever. And it's really now not just coming together in a couple of stitched pieces. You announced right there that it's called Sphere XG, right?
It's a cloud-based collaboration tool. And it is structured in such a way, I'll be honest, it is structured in such a way that it doesn't necessarily have to be our data. What I mean by that is if you can, you know, there are data structures that are rather ubiquitous throughout the industry. E57, mm-hmm. for example, LAZs, right? It's kind of like the DXF file that, you know, everybody exchanges within, you know, the various BIM worlds when they're going between platforms. And so if you can give us an E57 data, so let's say you're a GC and you're out using a third party provider to provide your heavy lifting on your scans, right? You're doing your own scan stuff just in, you know, areas of concern, but for the heavy lift, you're outsourcing it. They probably should be using Faro scanners, but it's a distinct possibility they might not. They could be using something else. But if they can provide an E57 file, we now still have the ability to ensure that they have the capabilities to use this tool as well. And, you know, I always sometimes talk about the idea that, you know, everybody wants people to live in their ecosystem, and I understand it, right? That developers do. But as an organization, as an industry, you know, we have to be able to share data efficiently across multiple platforms and not just ours. And if the industry is truly going to move, it's like the little boy blue in the dike, right? Not everybody, sooner or later, you got to pull your finger out and then you realize that everybody's standing around trying to hold back the exact same problem.
Yep, they're all really trying to focus on the same problem. And that's just we've covered now up to this point, guys, some of the things about the products and the releases and that. But for me, the real FOMO is my people. Like, I know my boy Mikey Z's there. I saw him at Groundbreak a couple weeks ago. I was like, Mike, I'm going to do this remote, but man, I wish I was there with you. Rob, what are some of the speakers, at least a speaker or two, that are hitting you and getting you excited? And I'm going to let Kip and Pat think about it while we go to you, Rob, and talk about that, who you were excited about.
Yeah, that's an easy one because it's the most fresh in my mind because it's the one I left before I came here. But I think, you know, one example that I have is Jason DeMelfi from Hensel Phelps. And, you know, Kip's giving examples. These examples are real. Everybody bumps into them. What's behind the wall or this or that? And they're kind of generic. And that's fine. Everybody faces them. But when you get those those actual job site stories, when you get to see what a customer did exactly on this job, what problems did they have? How did they navigate that? What benefits did they see? So, you know, Jason talked a lot about the Nashville Airport. They've had a number of projects there at the Nashville International Airport. And he really focused on some of the recent project that they were just closing out and really gave some examples. But it wasn't just reality capture. It was also about the challenges of the job and the fact that they had an active airport, right? Nashville's not the only airport. So I know there are other people in that room that are bidding work or on projects that can benefit from not just a hypothetical, but these very detailed stories. And I really enjoyed that one. You know, as I'm in Chattanooga, I do travel in and out of Nashville. So that one kind of hit home to me. It was real close to home because I've watched that go on. So that's the one that sticks to me. I really enjoyed that one.
Now, I'm going to digress for a second because I'm with you on that Nashville airport. And I really love that, you know, Jason from VDC manager from Hensel Phelps was there to talk about some of that. Just a little note, I found out on a Dorkcast recently, there is a distillery and a tasting area. You know, we're not doing that, you know, for reasons that I'll leave unknown, but we're not doing the tasting. But do you know, or Rob, has someone told you that it happens to be in the Nashville airport?
So I heard the episode actually while I was traveling to Chicago, but I had not heard about it. So instead of going out of Chattanooga or going down to Atlanta, my next trip will be in and out of Nashville so I can find that. So I was not aware.
And Pat and Kip, some of the things we've been talking about before the show, well, you can do that after the show with Rob when he shows up with the next customer after flying through the Nashville airport. If y'all don't know what we're talking about, you can check out that other cast. I'm on the Dorkcast and you'll hear a little bit more. I know, you know, I was just checking up the lineup and, you know, I get to run into Nick Decker from Ignite all over the place. And I really love Ignite's focus on large data streams and the changes in workflows and the changes in things. So those are, you know, he's one I get to see a lot, but I'm always want to see him talking at different ones. Kip, I'm interested if there was a one or two that stood out to you.
Probably, I think one of the really interesting use cases, Mark Franklin from Kleinfelder. And they do a lot of work in the oil gas industry. And what they're doing is I personally have this love-hate relationship with the idea of digital twin, at least the phrase, in the way it's currently used in the industry. And we could probably do an entire podcast on that. The Mark's team is actively, you know, working on an oil facility. And one of the things that they do with the data is, like Pat had mentioned, their democratization tool, our democratization tool, SphereXG, is at the core of their success, really. Their entire business model was built around that because the owner doesn't want the point clouds. The owner just wants to see it, right? He needs to visualize it. He needs to see it. They've got over 800 active users in that one project, right? They have terabytes worth of scan data. And the other thing that they do is they have an engineering group that they work very diligently with in the world of fire protection. And so what they're active with, his thing today was talking about how they're using AI to basically bring the data from WebShare, interrogate the point cloud data, and find anomalies and potential problems doing some predictive functions where they believe that there may be a failure in the fire protection function as they move down the line. And they can flag and tag and mark, and nobody from the East Coast has to fly to Canada to do it. They're doing it all on a democratized tool using Oculus Rift headsets and other tools like that to be able to walk the site. You think what, you know, COVID did to all of us, right? It was should have bought Zoom stock right before COVID. You'd be a genius. But that ability to mitigate the human interaction within an environment, especially something like an oil refinery, is a tangible benefit that many people don't think about when thinking about reality capture, because you can only put so many people in a room sometimes. So I think his presentation on how deep-seated they've gotten in relationship to not just the collection process, But the really drive down the consumption to a point of they're using predictive AI and so forth to make it happen, I think was probably one of the, was really eye opening, I think, for many of the people that were in the room. So
yeah, that's an eye opening one, Kip, and it highlights something too that for me in construction at least, you know, so often there is an expertise level for each of the people involved, and we need those expertises at the time that we need them. And so often we're waiting just for a decision because we were previously blocked by access to data, access to the information, the ability to, you know, transport in time virtually to somewhere to make that decision. So it's awesome to see that being overcome and to hear, you know, someone like that talking about their experiences with it. And I gotta believe, in having some of my own experiences interviewing people from the oil and gas world, man, that's huge that you can make immediate decisions, get those to the experts, and keep things moving forward on track and on schedule. So super quality stuff. Pat, I know if there's something you've heard that you're excited about, or we might even be looking into tomorrow.
Well, I'm super excited I didn't have to listen to Rob today. So it would be right, Jeff. I was promised I could take one shot at Rob before we. It's 45 minutes in. So for the listeners, the three of us have worked together a number of years, and so we get shots at each other all the time. So after being excited not to listen to Rob, Bridgestone for me, unfortunately, they were presenting when we left, but I've had a chance to listen to Bridgestone previously, Raj from Bridgestone. You know, again, I'm fascinated by these owners that have literally millions of square feet of facilities. And you know, you think about it, you drive up to the front door, that's going to be the administration building. And then you're going to go through operations, and you're going to go through production, and then, you know, the cooling tower, all that stuff. And each of those, again, these guys have to manage this. They're cities in some cases almost. So, you know, Bridgestone has executed an approach where they're focused on the key renovation areas. They use other data types and some service providers, as Kip mentioned, to sort of fill in some of those other areas. And I think it's fascinating how these owners have really begun to really wrap, you know, a strategy around how they're going to manage it. Because, again, not one data source or not one data type is the answer. So we think there's a real sort of solution for them. And I also think it's amazing those guys deal with that level of complexity. We deal with also a few auto manufacturers. I can tell you, they literally have plants on three continents. I mean, you can imagine, you know, the complexity those guys are dealing with. That's just a few. And the last one, I'll do the plug for the Oracle team right after my kickoff, where Rob booed me off the stage. I introduced Bertrand from Oracle. He's been gracious through the whole process working with Kip as they stood up the Oracle Innovations Lab. He did a great presentation, not only on some of the things they're doing here at the Innovation Lab, but also on, they've done a very comprehensive report of capture types and how to, you know, what best use cases, all those sort of things, very much in keeping with, I would say, some of the key takeaways, you know, we have come to as well. So that's a few that stand out to me.
Those are all awesome. And you know, we've had him on the show before. Brickin's been on the show. He is one of those, you know, really bring it all together futurists, and it's fantastic. So he's been really fun to see. And I want to thank you guys for sitting down. You've given me FOMO, and so I have that plenty good right now, and I wish I was there, so I'll just plug in the future. You might want to bring a guy in with an IT background to talk about data in the future of next year, you know, just so I can plug to get there. I'm allowed to do that, right? It is my show. I can do what I want, right, Kip?
To add a little extra FOMO, so tomorrow we're actually going to we're bringing the entire group in two groups. Once again, we didn't want it to be too large that we couldn't provide some quality time, right? We're bringing them here to the Oracle Lab where we're at right now, and we're going to do some labby stuff, get some tech in people's hands, do some comparative analysis work in relationship to the various tools and technologies. And then we're going to, you know, they're going to get some one-on-one time with Bertrand to walk them around the lab and talk a little bit more in depth. And then they're also going to get some, some FaceTime with David, from Oracle to talk a little bit more deeply about some of the, you know, the Oracle Construction Cloud stuff, and those integrations and, you know, I think it's going to be really kind of a full day of that. And it's just going to be, you know, kind of a mini Nerdvana moment. And I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. And I thought we were friends, Kip. And then we're not, because you're now telling me people are walking around the Oracle Lab, playing with the tools, getting to interact with it, getting to ask questions. Yeah. I thought we were friends.
I brought $400 worth of bourbon with me.
And he has $400 worth of bourbon, and I'm on the other end. And we've done a lot of things, and you know, you guys have done a lot of things there at Faro, but you can't make that bottle disappear and reappear in front of me, or at least even a glass. The ice keeps melting. We can't get that algorithm right. No, I'm kidding.
No time warp in putting the bourbon back in the bottle, but you will feel the pain. So.
Yes, I will feel the pain, but I want to thank all of you guys for sitting down, taking the time out of what is an absolutely busy schedule. What is, you know, takes a lot of time to put these things together, to execute them. You have a fantastic team there, fantastic folks. I just want to say thank you to all of you. And I'm going to give you guys a little bit of nicknames after this one. So I have Pat the Prognosticator, Kip the Analogy King, and I'm sorry, Rob, but you're just the whipping post today. So with that, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I want to thank you for tuning in today to geek out for our interview with the live coverage from Faro Signals with Pat Boyle, Kip Ivey, and Rob Miller. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is the Contact Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.